welcome you to Brandywine. It's good to see all of you. How you doing? Everybody doing good? Okay. Weather's a little colder today. It is the fall. We want to welcome you here online. Those of you that are joining us, we want to welcome you. Thanks for joining our live stream and all of you here in person. This past week, we celebrated Veterans Day, which is why we had the flags out. It is an honor to our vets and all those who have served in military forces. So if you have served in armed forces yourself, or if you are representing somebody here today who has served, can you just stand so we can thank you for your service? Go ahead, stand. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. I'm going to pray for them in just a moment as we begin our service. We want you to know this Sunday is a congregational Sunday day, and what that means is, twice a year, we take some time to talk a little bit about who we are as a church, where God's taking us, and get some updates about our ministries. This is sort of like a family gathering, so you can know a little bit more behind the scenes of what God's doing here. We will, at the end of the service, be voting on our leadership. We're a congregational church. That means members have the opportunity to vote for leaders, as well as the budget. This is our congregational leadership Sunday. So committee members, as well as new deacons that are being nominated, you'll have the opportunity to vote for them at 11:30. That portion of our time together will start. Whether you're a member or you're a regular attender, we want to invite you to come out and stay at 11:30. It'll be a short time together. We'll have some conversation and discussion, and then we'll vote. We want all of our votes, both members and non-members to vote. We'll count those members' vote, but we want to hear from you as well and have you all participate. Our children will be taken care of during that time, so don't even worry. You can leave them downstairs in their classes, and then after the service, you can go and pick them up, okay? So that's coming up in a little bit. If you are new, you're going to get a little bit more of a sense of who we are this Sunday, so glad to have you. Let's pray before we get into things this morning. We want to thank you, Father, that you are a God who has made yourself known. We don't worship an aloof God who just somehow turned on the universe and then just stepped away. You have engaged in history. You have engaged in people, in communities. You have engaged through showing, manifesting who you are in the person of Jesus Christ, who came and lived a life of perfection that we could not live, of holiness that we are incapable of perfect love that we can't even fathom, died a death in our place for our sins so we can be forgiven and restored and may hold whole again with our Creator forever. We thank you that you are not an aloof God. You are present with us, and you are present through your church, through your Holy Spirit moving in our lives and in our church. Shape us and shape our ministry through your work of the Spirit. Guide our time together that we have, Lord. We want to take a moment. We want to thank you for our vets who have served faithfully over the years and those present right now who serve to protect our land, protect our freedoms. And Lord, we recognize that there's many other places around the world that do not have the freedoms we have, that do not have the stability and safety that we have. And so we do not take that for granted. We recognize them, Lord. We pray that you would keep them safe. We remember what the Savior said, Jesus, that no greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And we thank you for those who have laid down, literally laid down their life for their friends, their family, their nation. And we honor them today. Transform us because we sat under the teaching of your word this morning. May we take it with us, not just put it in our heads, but put it in our hearts. May it bleed out into our hands that we would live differently because we sat under your teaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you play sports in the past or currently? Sports people, raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have been part of a team at some point where the sum total was far greater than each individual part? In other words, your talent, you know, could have been all over the map, but everybody just sort of played like a notch above that season or for those games. Everyone was just playing beyond their talent level. where there was just a sense of you were so in sync, in harmony with one another. You were united together. There was just a flow, like a chemistry that season. And you guys all had a mission. You guys knew where you were going. And maybe that flowed into a winning streak or into several playoff victories or maybe a championship. Any of you ever been a part of that team where there was just something going on in that team? Raise your hand. Any of you ever been a part of that? Okay, a few of you, and so sad for the rest of you. They have not experienced that. Got to get some win streaks here. We call that in sports momentum, right? You know that word, momentum? Sometimes they call it Big Mo. Like it's a person. It's like embodied in a team. And it can take you farther than any individual in that team. Their talents alone could take you. And teams, we've seen that probably the greatest example of that in my lifetime has been in the 2017 season for the Philadelphia Eagles that culminated in a Super Bowl victory. You guys all remember that? I mean, you can clap for that, okay. That year was incredible. There was no superstars on that team. We had a backup quarterback, a bunch of no-name players, and somehow that team rose above their average abilities to do something special. That's momentum, and I think in a lot of ways, the Holy Spirit operates in a very similar way in the world. The Holy Spirit empowers average, ordinary people, average, ordinary churches, having them operate a cut above, beyond their abilities to do things beyond what they think they could do, brings unity and a sense of togetherness and a sense of vision and calling and purpose, and points us externally, not just in what's happening in this building, but out into the world, out into the community. That's what the Holy Spirit does. If you trace the ministry of the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Acts, you see this over and over again. City to city, town to town, community to community, working to do more than what anyone can imagine. You see this throughout church history as well. When I was a young pastor in 2000, in the early 2000s, I was part of a ministry called Frontline. It was our young adult ministry at McLean Bible Church in the DC metro area. And there was something going on. The Spirit was doing something powerfully in those early 2000s. There was a sense among us that God wanted to call us to a vision beyond our doors, externally into the community. We had been awakened to the great needs in our city, the under-resourced, underserved communities of the city. And we sensed a calling to do something about that. And the Spirit was just working in individuals, ordinary individuals coming together. We would begin to just pray kind of spontaneously together, gathering in groups, doing prayer walks around different parts of the city, saying, Lord, what would you want us to do? How do you want to use us? I want you to meet Julia. She's pictured here. Julia, this is a picture of her when she was in her early 20s. Julia was a school teacher. And she taught in the district. And every day she would come home from work, she would go through a neighborhood called Lincoln Heights. It's a really tough neighborhood in D.C., kind of like West Center or Riverside kind of communities in our area, very under-resourced. And she would drive by this park. It was a rundown park every day on her way home from work. But this particular Sunday, as she was praying and walking through the area, she sensed the Lord kind of stop and have her take a look at what's going on in this neighborhood. And she saw, maybe with the first time, just eyes to see, she saw a bunch of kids in this rundown park just playing, you know, walking around the park. Very few parental figures there. There was, you know, dealers and gangs and things like that also in the park. And in that moment, even though she had been by there many, many times, that moment, she remembered and recalled Jesus' words when he looked out over the city in Jerusalem and he had compassion on them. He said they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And do you remember what he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37? Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And Julia stopped right there She had in her book bag a few children's books, and she got out and she just went to that broken bench there in that park, and she just started watching the kids play. And when a few would see her, she would smile and wave, and a few began to wander over, and she said, "Hey, can I read you a story?" I said, "Sure." And she began to just read them a children's story. And one by one, more kids came until there's about a dozen kids all gathered around Julia. And then after work the next day, she came by, she drove by, she did the same thing. And then the next day, the same thing. She did this for a few weeks. And as she was coming home from that park one day, she sensed a vision, got a vision from the Lord for something far more. She said, "What if God used our church, frontliners, 20-somethings, to start doing something to help this community? Maybe an after-school program, maybe a reading program, something for these kids in this community." And so she brought it back to some of her friends and from church, and that next time they went, there was a few more readers, and a few more, and a few more. Fast forward about a year, and Julia and several others in that community came together and formed a nonprofit called Daybreak that was supported by our church. And Daybreak had a very simple mission, which was this: sharing the gospel with under-resourced communities while nurturing children and strengthening families. They made such an impact in a short period of time in this city, relationally, that the city gave them two houses, gifted them two houses next to each other to operate this program, this after-school program out of. And so they began to do that. 20 years later today, now Daybreak has a multi-church partnership in the city. Daybreak has served thousands of children and families. Hundreds of people have come to know Christ, have been mentored, have been nurtured. Many of these students that they began to reach when they were young became the first in their family to graduate, to receive scholarships, to be empowered, and to serve the Lord and their neighbors all over the city and all over the country. A generational, transformational impact was made in Lincoln Heights. Why? Because the Spirit moved in a group of people to do extraordinary things. And Julia made herself available to get out of her car and bring some books. That's it. That's how it started. Now, I tell you that story. It's an inspiring story. But I tell you that story to say that I believe here at Brandywine today, God, through His Spirit, is doing something similar among us. He is preparing this church to be mobilized, to be sent out these doors to make a significant impact in our community, in our backyard, in our city that is also under-resourced and underserved. I believe that there are Julias in our midst right now, and you don't even know it, but you're one of them. In the next few years, we're going to see God do exceedingly abundantly more, you can ask or think, through ordinary people like you and I. When the Spirit moves in an individual, in a church, or in a community, we always see two things accompany with the Spirit's movement. And those two things, all throughout Scripture, are one, the power of the gospel demonstrated through good works, through healing, through reconciliation of families, through financial aid and relief, through emotional resources and restoration. Always see that. And secondly, the truth of the gospel declared through the message of Jesus Christ, where people turn from their lives and in repentance and believe and trust in Jesus for the salvation. Every movement of the Spirit always has both demonstration and declaration of the gospel. Look at the movements throughout Scripture. Look at the movements throughout our history. It's not either or. It's not, hey, hand out some tracts or go stand at a corner and preach and do nothing for their physical needs. And it's not just, hey, go drop off some turkey boxes and then head back out to the suburbs. It's always demonstration and declaration embodied in a presence in a community where you see the Holy Spirit move. This is Jesus's ministry. when Jesus described the beginning of his ministry to his hometown synagogue, here's what he said, quoting from the book of Isaiah in Luke 4. "The Spirit is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners." And notice, demonstration, "recover sight for the blind, to set the oppressor free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It is both and. And this is the pattern everywhere that Jesus went. He preached and he taught, but he also brought physical relief to the sick, justice to the poor. He spent time among those who were under-resourced, showing mercy and providing paths to freedom. He preached on the mountainside, but he also fed the 5,000. It's the both and ministry. I love what Jonathan Edwards, one of our Reformed heroes, Jonathan Edwards once said this: "But the pattern of the kingdom that was revealed through those signs," speaking of Jesus and his ministry, "must continue in the church. We cannot be faithful to the words of Jesus if our deeds do not reflect the compassion of his ministry." And then he says this: "Kingdom evangelism is therefore holistic as it transmits by word and deed, declaration and demonstration, the promise of Christ for body and soul." This is the Holy Spirit's ministry embodied in the church. And this is how the Holy Spirit always moves. Paul said that our demonstration of the gospel is a vital part of our declaration of the gospel. Titus 14, talking about how the gospel is manifest in a community. He says, "He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to good deeds." What we live for, Ephesians 2:10, he says, "We are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," right? That's the declaration of the gospel, where we follow Jesus. Why? "To do good works that he has prepared beforehand that we might walk in." They always work together. Friends, Jesus did not save us to sit and soak in pews. He did not save us just to gather more data in our mind, just to do another Bible study or another meal or another event. These are good things, important things. Do not get me wrong. You need the church gathered under the word of God. But he also saved us to be the church scattered out the doors, being sent to make a difference, to be transformed and go, to be mobilized, as we call it. We built this into our very values, into our DNA. One of our core values as a church, talking about gospel partnership in our city, says this: that the gospel of Jesus is humanity's only hope, both now and forever. And God has placed us in our city to be a lighthouse for Christ. To be most effective, we must partner with other like-minded churches, agencies, and ministries. Therefore, notice the demonstration and declaration idea: we will seek to earn the right through love and service and effective ministry partners to proclaim the truth. This is our witness. This is how we operate. Now, the Spirit, I believe, is on the move among us. I believe he desires to start a fresh movement of demonstration and declaration of the gospel in our community, here in our backyard, in the neighborhood, in the city, that desperately needs to have a Jesus Christ encounter. Brandywine has been freed up from debt, I think, for this very reason. In such a fast way, too. God has resourced us and primed us and is preparing us to make that significant gospel impact. We've talked a lot about this. If you've been tracking with us for the last 5 years, we've been talking about this a lot, haven't we? You've heard me say all the time, we are blessed to be a blessing. Brandywine's not a cruise ship, right? We don't just come and get buffeted and chillax here and have our, you know, comforts met. But we are rather a aircraft carrier, where we are equipping and empowering to send you out into our community. And as much talking as we've done, it's now time to do. It's now time to put that into action, to serve our community. We are going to equip you to share and defend your faith. You are going to learn how to serve your community in humble and empowering ways that help and not hurt our city. Not in transactional ways where we merely hand something out or give a food box and never interact, but rather through embodied ways, relational, transformative ways, the way of Christ and the apostles in the early church. There are three tangible next steps I want to share with you that we are taking to live out this external call, this call to be mobilized. Because of our debt freedom, we've made room in the budget to hire a full-time pastor of church mobilization and groups. And we look forward to bringing this individual on. We are going to be designating administrative help and support financially to come alongside this new pastor. This pastor is going to be a flag carrier for external impact in our community. His job will be to help us identify our unique and specific calling as a people in our community. He will help to build a pipeline to partnerships, existing partnerships like our One for Wilmington Church partnership, Sunday Breakfast Mission, Urban Promise, lots of other ones that we currently partner with, as well as new ones, new partnerships, new opportunities that don't yet exist. He will build volunteer teams to coordinate all the different ways that we are serving community, both as individuals and then corporate, big ways where everyone can be involved in serving our community. Now, we have a candidate that we're very excited about. I can't announce who that is because they are local. And so I want him to have the opportunity to be able to share and tell everyone that they want. We're in the final stages of that. And so hold tight. We'll introduce him to you pretty soon. You'll get to know him. So no worries there. So that's the first thing. Secondly, we have freed up nearly $200,000 and set it aside for a church mobilization budget. This is a fund where we are going to use to seed and help launch this church mobilization ministry. We're not just going to send this guy out and, you know, a few people and say, you know, good luck, rub a few pennies together and make something happen. No, we want to resource this. We want to have funds given, real funds, real ministry money to be able to get this launched and help us establish a future local outreach budget plan. And that's because of your generosity and your giving. The third thing is something I want to ask you to start doing. Every single one of us can be involved in this one. I want you to start praying and dreaming. I want you to start praying and dreaming. Do you know that the church moves forward on her knees? Every movement of the Spirit that you can trace back through history, you will see a group of people praying somewhere. You will be seeing people gathering together in church basements or in people's neighborhoods or prayer walking around a city, praying, asking, God, what would you have for us? Show us where your tears fall and where your compassion and what you want us to do. And we will go praying, asking for the Lord to do something, to let his Spirit empower us. We need to be a people of prayer. We have a prayer gathering. We do it monthly, but we have one coming up this Tuesday, 7 p.m. on Zoom. I'd invite you to join that prayer gathering, and we're going to be praying specifically for this initiative. But we also want you to dream. Just like Julia had a dream, a vision that God had given her. What might God be laying on your hearts? I believe as each individual one of us begins to pray and think about this and allow mental space to think about this, that we're going to collect those ideas and we're going to bring them together so that we're moving together towards where God wants us to be. What is our daybreak story? What might he uniquely be gifting and wiring us to do? Where are you already serving, but we just don't know? Where we can come alongside of you and empower you and support you. I'm going to just share in closing just one of those dreaming ideas that I can't shake. It's sort of been with me in the last 5 years or so, ever since I uncovered, I came across a statistic. Do you know what the number one statistical factor is for what prevents children from thriving? It's not education. It's not feeding programs. It's not financial need. You know what it is? Fatherlessness. fatherlessness, the lack of fathers and father figures. It's an epidemic that no one wants to talk about. You won't see it on the headlines anywhere. You probably aren't going to see it in a program, an initiative. U.S. Department of Justice did a big study on this and said children from fatherless homes account for 63% of youth suicides, 90% of all homelessness and runaway youths, 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders, 71% of all high school dropouts, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions, and 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers, just to name a few. I wonder if the Spirit might want to move among the churches in Wilmington to do something transformational about that. And not just fathers, not just father figures, but families. They need mothers and mother figures and sibling figures in their lives. They're looking for family. Maybe it's an area that God might break our heart for. I don't know where it's going to go. I really don't. I don't have some master plan that I'm hiding, which is kind of scary, but it's also super exciting because we're going to see where the Spirit takes us. And that's exciting. It's an opportunity to be a part of something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to know where it is that you're calling us to go. You've been prepping us for this time, and now we're here, and it's exciting. But Lord, we need to be a praying people. We need to be seeking your face to know where it is that you're calling us to go. Lord, may you work through us, through your Holy Spirit, empowered by your Spirit, equipped with your word, in the name of Jesus Christ, to go and make an impact for you and our community. We can't do it on our own. We need you to equip ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.